John, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 28, Jesus is talking in this context. And he said, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This passage talks about disciples indeed. That's what I want us to think about in our study this afternoon. This conversation took place here between Jesus and a group of Jews. Some of these Jews in this audience were very hostile to Jesus, but others were believers in him. The statement that Jesus made here in verse 31 about being disciples indeed suggests to us that there are, or at least there may be, some who, in spite of their claims, are not indeed disciples of Christ. What that says is that some are counterfeit. They're not genuine. They're not real. Sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference between real money and counterfeit money. In fact, I'm not sure that I can tell the difference. There are people who are trained, and some of the merchants have these little pins that they can mark across a bill, and it's supposed to tell them if it's counterfeit or not. How accurate it is, I don't know. But what that tells us is that there are sometimes great difficulties in determining the difference between that which is real and that which is genuine. That's what we're going to talk about. Genuine, real disciples. Those who are not counterfeit. I want, first of all, to notice some definitions in regard to this study. The word disciple comes from a Latin verb which means to learn. It means a learner or a follower of some particular teacher. It means an adherent of the principles of some leader or some particular school of thought. We hear quite a lot in our society today about Muslims, Mohammedans. They are followers of Muhammad. They are disciples of Muhammad. They are disciples of other particular schools of thought. They are disciples of various other leaders. So when we talk about disciples, that does not necessarily imply one who is a Christian. Yes, Christians are disciples. We are disciples of Jesus. We are learners. We are followers of his. But there are others who are disciples. The word that's translated indeed in this context suggests the idea of in reality or in truth, as opposed to that which is counterfeit, as we've already noticed. Discipleship is not just a state of being. Sometimes we get the idea that after one is baptized into Christ, that brings them into sort of a static situation. Well, that's not true. This word is a prepositional phrase. It's compounded into one word. The word in shows location or sphere, the place where one is. But the word deed that's used in making up this compound word originally meant do. And the word as a whole then conveys the idea of proving by performance. Disciples indeed. Individuals who show by their actions that they are who they claim to be. We also understand that the word deed is sometimes used to designate a signed bargain or a contract. But regardless of which way you use it, it has to do with that which is genuine, that which is real, as opposed to that which is counterfeit. Now I want you to think with me about this idea of discipleship. There may indeed be disciples who are disciples just in claim. The Jews claimed favor with God. They did this by fleshly ties to Abraham. As you continue reading on down in John chapter 8, there in verse 39, the text says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. If you're really children of Abraham, well, were they children of Abraham? By fleshly ties, yes. But they were not indeed. They weren't showing by performance that they were the children of Abraham. He said, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. You'd do what Abraham did. So a disciple follows the lead of the one of whom he is a follower. God did not recognize them as, in reality, children of Abraham. He said in verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do what you are doing. In Matthew chapter 15, there beginning in verse 8, Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This people, the ones he's talking about, are the Jews. They draw near with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but they're not real. The heart's far from me. In Luke, the third chapter, there at verse 8, John makes a charge there. He says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and began not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Just because they could claim fleshly ties with Abraham did not necessarily make them children of Abraham. Not in reality. Men today claim discipleship, but the test of indeed must be applied. We all are aware that one can claim to be a doctor, they can claim to be a lawyer, they can claim to be a soldier. And some have practiced a profession for a time before being caught. I read about a man who served, I think, about 3 tours of duty in Vietnam. He was 15-year-old, Walker Lee Martin. He wasn't recognized as a soldier. Despite 2 periods of serving in Vietnam, I'm saying three, but two. Because he did not enlist, was not drafted, did not enter the army through any regular means. He was not officially in, did not officially enlist or enter through any normal means. Barney said he was, in fact, not a soldier. That's not Barney, that's Barante. Said he was, in fact, not a soldier. He isn't a soldier. Two periods of service in Vietnam, twice wounded in action, yet no Purple Heart, no honorable discharge, no veteran benefits. He did not legally enlist. For all practical purposes, he was a soldier. Did everything a soldier does. But he was a soldier. He was one only in claim. And you, I'm sure, have read about individuals who claimed to be a doctor, who practiced the profession, who were not in reality doctors. Just because one claims to be something does not make them such. We noted earlier, one can claim to have a lot of money, but it may be counterfeit. It may not be real, genuine. How can one be a disciple, indeed, when they teach and practice things that are false? They teach and practice error, such as salvation by faith only. There are people all over the city, all over this nation, all over the world, who claim to be disciples of Jesus. But you remember in James chapter 2, verse 24, you see that how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. When people claim to be a disciple and teach such doctrine, they are not in reality. People teach that one cannot fall from grace, yet the Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. The Bible says you can fall. People claim to be disciples of Jesus say you can't fall. Many deny the inspiration and authority of God's word. But John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that judgeth men receiveth not my words, hath one to judge with him the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Do you remember? If you continue in my word, then. If then. That suggests a possibility of not being. It also suggests conditions for being. We can't just claim discipleship. But there are those who may be disciples in name. Obviously, this is closely connected with those who are disciples in claim. As we note in John 8, verse 39, the Jews were disciples in name. They were, in fact, physically Abraham's descendants. They wore the name and theoretically taught the old law given through Moses, descendant of Abraham. And so they were, in fact, disciples in name. And we have those today who are licensed as doctors and lawyers. We have some who have enlisted in the armed forces and are in name soldiers, but not in reality, because they don't do what soldiers do. Some who are a part of a particular profession, but they don't practice that profession. You see, they're not continuing. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This word continue suggests the idea of a stable residence in something. James chapter 1 and verse 25 said, whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Whoever looks and continues therein. this man shall be blessed in his deeds. As Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those who are in reality disciples of Christ continue faithfully in doing his work. And so it takes much more than just being baptized into Christ and being able to technically say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ because I've been born into the family of God. There's a great deal more involved in being a disciple, a true disciple, than just going through the motions so that you can have the name. This group that we're talking about here may fall into at least two categories. It can involve those who may fall by the wayside and quit trying. Those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, and they continue for a while, but they fall away. And Jesus illustrates this in two of the types of soil that he talks about in the parable of the sower. Some seed fell on stony ground, and it sprang up. But because it didn't have any depth of earth, it withered and died. Some fell among thorns, and it came up, but it was choked by the thorns, the briars. Jesus said, this is the cares and the deceitfulness of riches. Both of these categories were illustrative of individuals who heard the word. They responded in obedience to the word. They were obedient to the gospel of Christ, and they endured for a period of time, but because of various reasons, they fell away. The same thing happens in the Lord's church today. People obey the gospel, and so technically, they can wear the name of Christ because they have been obedient to the gospel of Christ. They've been added to his family, but they're not disciples indeed. But there's another category that I think we can see illustrated in this idea of being disciple in name. That's those who continue to attend assemblies and pretend to be what they claim to be. And for all outward appearances, they are indeed faithful Christians. Just as I read the story about the man who was not indeed a soldier, even though he had done everything a soldier did, he hadn't enlisted. There may be some who have enlisted, and for all practical purposes, they are part of the Lord's army. But they're not doing the Lord's work. There are untold hundreds of thousands, probably all over this land, who come to assemblies such as this and pretend to be disciples of Christ, but their lives are just very immoral and ungodly. And some are able to maintain their secrecy. I know a man who was, for all practical purposes, a faithful gospel preacher. Was an excellent preacher of the gospel. He carried on an illicit relationship with a woman who wasn't his wife for 12 years. This can happen. People who are technically disciples of Christ, but whose lives are such that they are not in reality disciples of Jesus Christ. So there are some who are disciples and claim, those who claim to be disciples of Christ, who have never obeyed the gospel, never been baptized for the remission of their sin. Now those who are disciples in name, those who have in fact been obedient to the gospel and been added to the family of God, and so they can technically wear the name Christian, but they're not in reality Christians. Because they're not doing what Christians do. But then there are disciples indeed. Those who are genuine. These individuals show by their lives, that is by their performance, that they are indeed followers of Christ. As Paul would write in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, he said, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Did you notice there were some things that they were doing? They were abounding in love and in knowledge and in all judgment. So that, here's the result of their doing this. So that you may approve things that are excellent. So that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How are you going to approve things that are excellent? Well, you're going to have a knowledge of God's Word. You're going to have to know what the Lord has said. You're going to have the kind of love that our Lord had. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Love is very, very needful in the body of Christ. Because as we live our day-to-day lives, we are surrounded by people who may even be claiming to be disciples of Christ, and may even technically have the name, but they're not living the kind of life they ought to be. They can see Christ living in us. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As he continues in verse 11 of Philippians 1, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness." We all know what fruits are. They're the produce of various trees and various plants. We pick fruit from our tomato vines. We pick fruit from our okra plants. We pick fruit from our pea vines. We pick fruit from apple trees. We understand what fruit is. And here Paul's being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we talked this morning from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that the Apostle Paul advised people when he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." By the renewing of your mind. It's not static. It's not a standstill sort of thing. It's always active. In order to do that, we have to renew our mind. If we didn't fill our gas tanks and our automobiles every once in a while, they wouldn't go anywhere. We know that. They have to have fuel. We have to have fuel. Sometimes automobiles have to be worked on, or they don't work right. I had to take mine down not too long ago and have some software updated. Didn't used to have to do that with older ones, but now you do. had to be renewed. We have to do that with our minds. How do we do that? By spending time with the Word of God. Be not conformed, but be transformed. How do you transform? By the renewing of your mind. That's a daily task. Renewing ourselves as children of God. And so disciples indeed show by their lives that they are indeed followers of Jesus Christ. Those who are disciples indeed search for the truth. They recognize a personal responsibility in this matter. Remember in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scripture. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily to see if the things taught were so. He's talking about the Bereans. They received the word readily and they searched the scripture to see if the things taught were so. Those who were in reality, those who are genuine disciples of Christ continue to search the scriptures. I'd almost guarantee you that every time you read a passage of scripture for understanding, that you'll probably see something in that passage that you haven't seen before. I studied quite a lot. And there's not many days goes by that when I'm reading and studying from the Word of God that I don't see something contained in a passage that I haven't really thought about before. I'm not saying I'm really all that bright. I'm not real observant at times. But even I, at times, can see things in Scripture that I've seen before. I didn't realize exactly what was said and what was meant by what was said. It takes some diligent searching of Scripture if we are indeed disciples of Christ. But not only do those real disciples search for truth, they learn the truth. They do their best to understand what they learn. They do their best to understand what God's will is. Remember in verse 32 of our text, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Know the truth. That means understand it. Ephesians chapter 3, there in verse 4, Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, you can understand. So real disciples do their best to understand what God's will is. But it wouldn't do them a bit of good if they did all this and didn't obey the truth. Real disciples do what it says. When we find out what God's will is, then we have to do it. You remember Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, there the text says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, it became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Takes obedience. Jesus was saying in Matthew 7:21, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So not only do they learn what he says, they obey what he says, then they abide in. They continue in the truth. They remain steadfast. We know that 1 Corinthians 15 to verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And part of the passage we read from verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In James 1 verse 25, we shall look at in the perfect law of liberty, continuing therein, he may not a forgetful here, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Looking and continuing. That's a disciple indeed. And obviously a great deal more could be said about a disciple indeed, but you get the picture. A I suggest to you there are some results of being a disciple indeed. As Jesus said in verse 32 of our text, if you continue in my word, that's verse 31, then are you my disciples indeed. And then verse 32, he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. This is free from the guilt of sin. Acts 2, verse 38, those people were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Acts 22, 16, Ananias told Saul, and now while tarriest thou, rise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. They're free from the guilt of sin, but also they are free from the dominion of sin. As Paul would write in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And then in chapter 8, verse 2 of Romans, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer under the law of Moses. We're no longer in bondage to death. Yes, we're going to die physically. But we don't have to die spiritually. We don't have to be separated from God for all eternity. We're freed from the law of sin and death. We're freed from the sting of death. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in Christ. Victory over what? Victory over the sting of death. Death really doesn't have any power over us. Death is simply the door that we pass through from this world into eternity to be with God. Because we are indeed disciples of Jesus Christ. The question that I would ask you this afternoon, very simple. Are you a disciple indeed? Or are you just a disciple in claim? You just claim discipleship. Maybe you are a disciple in name. You have, in fact, obeyed the gospel, been added to the family of God, so you can say you're his child. But are you a faithful child? You have to be a faithful child to be a disciple indeed. So give these matters some thought. If there's someone in this audience this afternoon that realizes that they are not indeed disciples of Jesus Christ, even though you may have in the past thought you were, if you come to realize that you're not, we'll do our best to help you become his disciple. You can do that by being obedient to his will, believing that he is the Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in him, and being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord then will add you to his church. You'll be his disciple. Then you can demonstrate the qualities and traits of a disciple the rest of your life. And have hope beyond this life. Death won't be the end. Death will be victory. If you have obeyed the gospel and you have not lived as you should, you can return to him through repentance and prayer. If you need to respond, the Lord's invitation will invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.